Amen. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Before we read our text, which is just one verse, let me just give you a very brief background. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we find an aging, barren woman who doesn't have any children. And she loves the Lord and she fears the Lord. And she recognizes the calling of God upon a prophet named Elisha. And it's in her heart to build him a place to stay. So when he is in her community, ministering in her community, he has a place where he can go and rest, refresh himself, have a place of privacy. And she builds him a room. And the Lord, to reward her goodness, or just to bless her giving heart, he gives her the desires of her heart, which is a son. And as you read through the story, the son grows up, and there comes a day when this young man dies. And when he passes away, this aging woman sets it in her heart to go see Elisha and pour her heart out to Elisha. And that's where I want to pick up the story. And I actually just want to read one verse. And that's verse 27. And when she came to the man of God, meaning Elisha, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came nearer to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and has not told me." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to take a moment to pray and just lean upon you, God. Father, you are my strength. Lord, you are everything that I need. And Lord, I find my resources in you this morning, God. And Lord, just a word that you put in my heart, just to share something that's a vision that you put in my heart, God. And this is just a time, really, of just reflection. And I just thank you for your goodness, Lord, and speak to us today, God. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, from time to time, I've been asked by someone, you know, "Pastor Tim, what is your vision for the church? Pastor Tim, what is our vision for the church? Where do you see the Lord taking us? Where do you see the Lord leading us? Where do you see us in 10 years? Where do you find our hands working? Where do you see us?" And I have to say that is a legitimate question. You know, I believe every pastor should have something in their heart, a word that God has spoken for that church, a vision, a direction. And it is a legitimate question. And many of you know, when I became pastor in 1998, the Lord did put a word in my heart that I share. And some of you may have heard me share this often, but just a way of laying a foundation, let me just share it again. You know, when I became pastor in 1998, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart very clearly. And he said, "Tim, don't look for numbers. Don't look for a lot of people to come in, because there's a deep work that I need to do here in this church." The Lord told me, "Tim, this church is a well, and it needs to be dug, that there's a depth that I need to cultivate in the life of this church. And it's going to take a while. Don't look for people to be coming in for a long time, because I need to do a work. I need to, dig something out that has depth to it." And I've seen the Lord do that over the years. He's dug a well. I know where we were when we started. I know where we're at today. And I can clearly see the depth. I see the depth in our worship. I see the depth in our prayer life. I see the depth that we have in His Word. And I've seen God faithful to do that. You know, when the Lord first called me to pastor, you know, I think the greatest work He needed to do in my life, even though He called me the pastor, I wasn't ready for people to come in. I wasn't ready for crowds to come in, because there was a place of immaturity in my life where He needed to bring maturity. There was a depth in the Word that was missing. There was a depth in leadership in my life that was missing. the Lord just really needed to do a deep work there. And now I believe God has cultivated something with depth here. When people come, they find a depth in the Word. They find depth in worship. And I believe with all my heart, the Lord is beginning to bring people in. He's beginning to draw them in. You know, we have families coming in, and they're being very blessed by the worship and the Word. And I believe the Lord is fulfilling what He spoke into my heart 17 years ago. But see, people, you know, they can begin to ask this question. Well, Pastor Tim, what about now? Pastor Tim, what's our vision now? Where do you see the Lord leading us now? Where do you see us in 10 years? And I have to be honest with you, when it comes to seeing a specific direction, right now I don't see anything. When it comes to seeing where will we be in 10 years and where will our hands be working in 10 years as a church, I have to be honest with you, I don't have anything from the Lord. I don't see anything real clear from the Lord. And then someone would say, well, Pastor Tim, are you saying you don't have a vision? You don't have a vision from the Lord. You don't have something stirring in your heart. You don't have something burning from your heart from the Lord. And my response to that is simply this. Oh, no, that's not what I said. I do have something burning in my heart. I do have something that God has divinely planted in my heart. I do have something that so easily stirs my heart in regards to what the Lord is doing here in this church. And it's actually found in this story. So I want you to look with me. You see, every time I read this story, there are three words in this story that really grip my heart. Every time I read this story, there are just three words in this story that the Lord so easily stirs my heart and ignites my heart. And I want to show it to you. I want you to look with me at verse 27. It says, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by his feet. Now let's just read that simple phrase again. And when she came to the man of God to the hill. Listen, when she came to this man of God, she found him on a hill. When she brought her need to this man of God, she found him on a hill. And beloved, this hill represents the cross. This hill represents the bloody Golgotha, where Jesus poured his blood out and the blood was shed. In other words, what I'm saying is, this woman fell at the feet of a man who lives at the foot of the cross. This woman brought her need to a man who lives his life at the foot of the cross. And here's what I want us to recognize. Elisha represents a church who lives at the foot of the cross. Elisha represents a church that has entrenched itself at the foot of the cross. And beloved, here is my whole point. There are so many desperate needs in our world. And as a pastor, the cry that spills from my heart is this. When people come with their needs, may they always find us at the foot of the cross. When people come with their needs, may they always find us entrenched in one place, and that is at the foot of the cross. May we always be found at the foot of the cross. That is the vision that burns in my heart. You know, some years ago, some of you may remember, God began to really speak to me about the cross. God began to really ignite my heart with the cross. And I spent a lot of time going through the Bible, beginning at Genesis and going through the Bible and just seeing the cross and the power of the cross. And some of you probably remember for 9 months in a row, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, story after story after story, scripture after scripture after scripture, all we talked about was the cross for 9 months. For 9 months, every sermon I brought behind this pulpit was on the cross. Because God had put a fire in my heart. And I have to be honest with you, in that time, in that season, in those 9 months, I received more phone calls, more letters, more cards, more tokens from people that just gave me testimonies of how their life had been changed and how bondage had been broken and that they've come into a deeper place of freedom in their walk with God. I've got more phone calls, more letters, more cards in that 9 month season than anything I've ever done. And I have to tell you today that this vision that God has planted in my heart, this fire that He's planted in my heart about the cross and the power of the cross, it is stronger today than it's ever been before. The cross. And something just burns in my heart that says, Lord, no matter what needs walk through our door, may we be found in one place, and that is at the foot of the cross. Beloved, understand there's never been a greater time of crisis than what our world is facing today. And I'm reminded of what a beloved man of God wrote, a man who I highly esteem in the Lord, named Henry Blackaby. He wrote a book called The Man God Uses, and this is what he said. He said, surely we are in a crisis today. Crowded prisons, sexual exploitation of children, corruption, spousal abuse, racism, immorality, divorce, the breakdown of the family, church closing, street violence, the drug culture, ethnic cleansing, famine, disease, give evidence that the world is in crisis. Every culture and country throughout history has had troubles, but I believe we are in the midst of the most unprecedented levels of crisis today. But then he goes on to say something very tremendous. He says, God has placed us in a unique time in history to impact a world so desperately for a Savior. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe the world has never been in a time of crisis. If we just had eyes to see it, just had eyes to see the darkness and the depravity and the corruption, we would understand the world has never been in a time of crisis like it has been today. Beloved, Sodom and Gomorrah doesn't have anything on the American culture today. If anything, we have exceeded that. And what he says just lives in my heart. You know, God has placed us in a unique time in history to impact a world so desperately in need for a Savior. And then with this thought, let me just get back to the vision. If we as a church will be determined not to be moved away from the cross and the message of the cross, we will be armed to handle everything that hell has if we'll just stay near the cross. You know, a few years ago, after God really began speaking to me about the cross, I heard a man who I've grown to love as a teacher named Alistair McBeg. And he was speaking on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And he said, if the church wants to be powerful and impactful, we must know where its power lies. Where is the power of God found? It's found in the cross. The tragedy of the church is we have begun to look to other things, and we have to get back to the message of the cross. And then he went to quote the part of verse 17 that says the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And he explained that the power of God is activated when the cross is being preached. Paul himself devoted himself to the preaching of the cross. Why? Because he knew this is where God's power was active. And beloved, I have to say in my heart, some years ago in that season, I know in my heart God put a commission on my heart. And that commission has simply to be to keep the cross at the very forefront of everything that we do as a church. Listen, we may minister many messages on many different topics, but the cross has to stay at the forefront. That's why I frequently preach the cross. That's why there's a passion in my heart to one more time elevate the cross. And when I talk about the cross, I'm not talking about the two wooden beams that Jesus died on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the work that he did on the cross, the spiritual work he did on the cross when he lifted up his voice and cried to the heavens, "It is finished." He finished a work on that cross. And that's why I frequently preach the cross, because I believe with all my heart that is the commission, that is the vision of this church. Preach different sermons on different topics, but keep the cross at the forefront. And by the grace of God, I've been faithful to do that. So what does it mean when I say when people come with their needs, may they always find us at the foot of the cross? What does that mean? Well, it means three things. First of all, it means possessing a faith that God can change anyone. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe God can change anyone? Come on, let me hear your voices. Do you believe God can change anyone? Amen. Look with me at verse 27 again. It says, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to her and thrust her away. He thrust her away. You know, I'm just going to share my heart right now because this is a heart-to-heart message. You know, some years ago, someone came to me and said, Pastor Tim, if you find somebody who's attending our church that has this kind of background, could you just politely just encourage them to find another church? I mean, if they have this kind of background, and the person said the background, they said, can you just please kind of encourage them to find another church? You see, I have children here. I have children here. And if someone starts coming here that has this type of a background, you know, I just won't feel like my children are safe. So can you please do that? But I have to tell you something. I just can't find it in my heart to send anybody away when they have a sincerity in their heart to be changed and touched by the Lord. And that doesn't mean that we're naive about things. And that doesn't mean we don't put strong safeguards in place. I want to tell you something. In our Summit Kids program, we have set some very safe, strong guidelines in place. And yet, with that being said, I have to tell you something. I just can't find it in my heart to turn anybody away. Beloved, isn't the gospel all about the God of the impossible transforming impossible lives? And isn't the gospel about having a deep confidence in our heart that God can touch and transform any life? Is that not the confidence that should live in our heart? Is that not the vision that should live in our heart? This wasn't on my notes, but I'm just going to put it in my notes. Listen, Gehazi's name actually means visionary. He's supposed to be serving the Lord out of God's vision, living in God's heart. And shouldn't there be a vision burning in our heart that says, whosoever will, let him come. Doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your background is. If you'll come to the cross in sincerity, God can change your life. Isn't that the vision we're supposed to have in our heart? In other words, Gehazi was serving without seeing. And do we just go through the motions of our ministry without really seeing the vision of God's heart? He says in Hebrews, I save to the uttermost. He says in Romans, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Are we not supposed to be serving with a vision of the power of the cross in our heart instead of thrusting people away? Now, I'll tell you right now, I have things in my background I pray nobody finds out. My background's not pretty. But I'll tell you this, when I got saved and God changed me and God transformed me. And I know if He can change me, He can change anybody. All they need to do is get to the cross. Amen. Look with me at verse 27. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by his feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid from me and hath not told me. And I really want to emphasize that last part. It says, and the Lord hath hid from me and not told me. Beloved, listen, we're not always going to know the deep issues going on in people's lives. That's between them and God. He's not always going to tell us the deep issues that are going on in people's lives. That is between them and God. And we just have to know God has drawn each one of us to this place to minister to our personal needs, to bring healing and restoration. and produce testimonies of what God can do in a surrendered life. And we need to encourage each other and cheer for each other as we run the race God has set before each of our lives. And in time, as relationships are being built upon trust, there will be a time of sharing our stories. And there will be a time of shedding tears together. And there will be times of praying together. And that happens as God builds precious relationships built upon trust. So, number one, when people come with their needs, may they always find us at the foot of the cross. What does that mean? Number one, it means possessing a faith that God can change anyone. Number two, it means our faith stays fixed in the power and victory of the cross. It means whoever walks through our doors, they hear a cry of faith rising out of our heart that says, every victory you will ever need has already been won on the cross. Every breakthrough you ever need has already been won on the cross. Every deliverance you will ever need has already been won on the cross. Every miracle you will ever need has already been won on the cross. Keep your eyes entirely off of your strength and fully on the power of the cross. And as you continue to walk with Him, you will see bondages break and changes come in your life. That's what it means. It means to keep our faith fixed in the power and the victory of the cross. And not let our theology or our ideas take us anywhere else. Amen. And number three, it means to keep living the cross. It means to keep living what the cross speaks and teaches about the crucified life. Beloved, understand the Bible says that we've been bought with a price and we are not our own. That our lives are to be given to be poured out to others. Beloved, my life is not to be lived pursuing my agendas and my goals and my dreams. But my life is now to be lived pursuing God's will for my life. And pursuing the way He wants to use my life to be poured out for others. Amen. Amen. It means to live the crucified life. I just want to ask you a question. Think about it. What was the last temptation Jesus ever faced? What was the very last temptation He ever faced on this earth? What was the last temptation He ever faced? Let me show it to you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Look with me at verse 39 and 40. And they passed by, reviling Him, wagging their heads, and said unto Him, you that destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. So what was His very last temptation? Beloved, His last temptation was to save Himself from the cross. His last temptation was to come down from the cross. But Jesus did not come down. You want to know why He didn't come down? Because He knew if He came down from the cross, He would be given both the world and the church a gospel that doesn't come with the cross. He knew He would be given both the world and a church a gospel that doesn't come with a crucified life. He knew He would be given the world and the church a gospel that's all about self-preservation. Here's what I want you to understand. They didn't just tell Him to come off the cross, but they actually threw something else in the mix. Look with me at verse 42. They said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. They said, if you'll come down from the cross, we'll believe you. And beloved, this speaks of what the world is telling the church today, the world is telling the church, if you will give us a gospel that doesn't require a cross, this is the kind of gospel we will set our hearts upon to believe. This is the kind of gospel we will follow after. This is the kind of gospel we will set our hearts to pursue after. If you will give us a gospel that is all about me, how it will serve me, how it will benefit me, how it will profit me, this is the gospel we will set our hearts to believe and follow after. And beloved, I tell you, if we will begin to give the world a crossless gospel, a gospel that says it's all about you, a gospel that says the kingdom is all about how God can serve you and how God can profit you and how God can benefit you, I'm telling you, we'll pack our church out. And that's always a temptation. That's always a temptation to kind of, you know, slight the crucified life message. But I want to tell you something. Listen, if Jesus didn't understand the power of the cross, because in the cross is the power to transform life. If he didn't understand the power of the cross, he could have looked up at his father on the cross and he said, Father, did you hear what they said? They said that if I come down the cross, they'll believe me, they'll follow me. They said if I come down from the cross, that this is what they will follow after. And Father, isn't that what we're after? Aren't we here to make believers? I mean, aren't we here to make believers? They said if I come down, they'll believe me. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that our point, to make believers? But you know what his father would have said? His father would have said, no, we're not here to make believers. We're here to make disciples. And you can't have disciple-making, transforming power without the cross. I'm not interested in making believers because after all, that's what they are. Make believers. I'm here to transform lives. And you can't transform life without the power of the cross. Amen. You know, when Jesus said, unless a man pick up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. And I really had no understanding of what that meant until the Lord told me what that meant. Showed me what that meant. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who's transformed in the likeness of his teacher by his teacher's teaching. That's a disciple. In other words, a disciple is one who experiences the power of the transformed life through the teacher's teaching. And so when the Lord says, unless a man pick up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. He's not talking about a title. He's not saying you can't call yourself my disciple if you don't pick up your cross. That's not what he's saying. He's saying unless you embrace the cross, you can't experience its power working in your life. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's in the cross that the power is released in a life to transform a person into my likeness. It's in the power of the cross. So when he says, unless a man picks up his cross and follow me, he's not talking about a title. You can't call yourself my disciple. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about unless a man picks up his cross and follow me, unless a man embraces the crucified life, he can't experience the transforming power of the cross at work in his life. He's not talking about titles. He's talking about a power in your life that can change you into his likeness. That's why Jesus didn't come down from the cross. He says, listen, I'm not interested in making believers. I'm interested in power changing your life. And you can't have that kind of power with a crossless gospel. Amen. So, Pastor Tim, what is your vision? The old hymn sums it up. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Whenever needs walk through our door, may they find us on the hill, entrenched at the foot of the cross. Stand with me this morning. I don't have an altar call this morning. But I do have a prayer. I just want to pray for us this morning as a church that the Lord has planted and the Lord has dug, the Lord has established. Lord, you just used those three words to speak very deep into my heart, God. It is your vision that when she came to the man of God on the hill, that she fell at the feet of a man who entrenched his life at the foot of the cross. She was at Elisha's feet as he was bowing at the foot of the cross on that hillside. And Lord, that's just a prayer that I pray. God, we would never lose sight of the power of the cross. We'd never lose sight of the vision of the cross. God, when people come into this house, no matter what needs they have in their life, they always find a faith in our heart. It says, every miracle you will ever need, he already won it on the cross. Every breakthrough you will ever need, he already won it on the cross. When he lifted up his voice and said, it is finished, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Everything needed to be done to deal with the penalty of sin and the power of sin. God, you said in your word that our old man has been crucified with Christ, that we should not serve sin. That old man is the power of the sin nature. That Jesus, when you died on that cross, it's unexplainable, but it's what the scripture tells us. When you died on that cross, you smote a death blow to the old man, the sinful man. And Lord, there's nothing that hell has that can keep us from changing from glory to glory, that can keep us from being conformed to the image of your Son. And Lord, help us to keep our faith fixed in the power of the cross. Lord, I pray, God, would you re-envision us with the power of the cross? Would you re-envision us with the finished work of the cross? Would you re-envision us with the victory of the cross, God? Lord, I'm a pastor. I'm not called to be a psychologist. I don't know worldly methods in dealing with the issues of man. But God, you said that you've given us the anointing of the Holy Spirit to open blind eyes, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted. That's the power that comes from heaven to deal with the issues in men's lives. And it flows through the message of the cross. God, help us to live on that old bloody hillside. Help us, keep us near the cross, Lord. And Father, we thank you. Father, I believe our world, our nation is spiraling into places of such depravity, especially with new laws that have been passed, but where sin did abound, God, grace did much more abound. And I believe the sinfulness of our nation is only going to produce a desperation in the heart of people who want to be free. And God, when they come, let them always hear a freeing message on the power of the cross. Father, I thank you for your goodness, and I love you with all my heart. And I love this church, and I love this people. And I thank you for what you're doing in our body as one body. God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you with all my heart. I thank you for the testimonies you're going to raise up out of our house. Lord, beginning with my life, God, only you and I know my background. I thank you for the testimonies you're going to raise up that are going to shake the foundations of hell and bring God great glory in a world full of darkness. I thank you, Lord, and I love you. And I just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I delivered my heart this morning, so God bless you. Have a good day. Amen.